Welcome back. I'm Kim Bailey, she's Fuliana Osborne, and this is Inside Exec. Today we're going to talk about knowledge management, about how you maintain a knowledge base within your organisation, whether it's commercial or otherwise, and what you can do to ensure that the knowledge is shared, not so much in terms of transferring knowledge, which we'll talk about in a separate podcast altogether, but just within the organisation where the knowledge resides at the present time. A knowledge management, I guess, is, in essence, is looking at what you do, how you do it, how you interact with your customers, how you manage the knowledge that you develop about your customer base, whether it's internal or external, and then how that knowledge is shared within the organisation. As I said, with the transfer of knowledge to others when you're about to lose certain segments of knowledge, whether it's technical or otherwise, we'll talk about in a separate podcast. So managing knowledge these days can often be done with technology. We have been exposed to a host of, particularly in the customer relationship side of things, we have a host of software packages that will help you to manage knowledge and develop knowledge about your customers and how to interact with them. That's not the only knowledge that we have in an organisation. What we need to recognise is all of the sorts of knowledge that we have, and then how we're going to manage those individual bits of knowledge so that it, as a whole, contributes to us providing a better service or a better work environment, or any of the other improvements that might happen along the way.
So maybe if I talk about different aspects of that, if we concentrate on one of the headings that Kim mentioned, which is customer. In relation to the customer, it's absolutely critical that we know our customer. If we know our customer, we're able to service them better. We're able to provide them with service tailored for themselves. And that goes to no matter who it is in the organisation who's attending to that customer. So, for example, if I'm dealing with a customer and I know what that customer needs are, I'll be able to match them, exceed them, provide whatever is needed. Then I'm not around and Kim picks up that particular service thing and needs to service the customer. She doesn't know what I know. She won't be able to give the same level of service or give a different service, which the customer might be a waste of customer's time and an embarrassment to the organisation.
Absolutely, I'd give different service. There's no way. Sorry. Back to the topic, sorry.
So, if we're talking about that, let's take an example. A person utilised a chauffeur-driven service from a certain organisation and not necessarily having the same driver all the time because they don't need that, but a regular user and the person likes certain things. So if I'm the driver today and I haven't driven this guy before or this lady before, then I need to know what they like. So for example, this particular passenger likes to be in the back seat, doesn't like conversation and want the daily newspaper provided and maybe cold water. So in that case then, if nobody gave me that knowledge, if that knowledge is not somewhere I can access as a driver instantaneously, when I need it, as I need it, in a very, very easy to follow format, user-friendly, I'll be able to do that. If not, the person or the client in this case is going to be very disappointed.
I think we also see it with airlines when you join their preferred services, that they give you the opportunity to choose the meals you want, to have the seat that you prefer, but that only takes it to a certain degree. It gives the organisation knowledge about you when you are a customer, but it doesn't necessarily translate to making it a better experience for you. What we need to look at in terms of gathering that knowledge and having a knowledge base is that the management of that knowledge is transferred to the experience of your customers or your team or whoever else comes into contact with that particular knowledge and that knowledge base. So looking at the airlines, if that was translated into something that became part of the printout when you arrived at the airport so that they greeted you by name, which some of them do. When they came to see you in your seat, that they said, we're just confirming that you have this kind of meal, again, which some of them do. So in my experience of travel, I've seen that some airlines have taken that knowledge and transferred it into a management system that works for the staff and then therefore makes my experience better. And some haven't. Some have just maintained it as a knowledge base that works for them in terms of their planning and their organisation. And so that's part of it. That's part of the use and management of that knowledge. But it's not the whole range of activities that they could be using that knowledge for.
Now, the same thing applies if, as in any organisation, there's a number of areas within the organisation are working on specific parts of, a project. If the whole, every part of the organisation involved should be able to know what the overall picture is, they should be able to know exactly what's the purpose of this project, what's the expected outcome, what's the budget, and what's the deadline. That's the first step. So that knowledge has to be somewhere where they all can access it. The second piece of knowledge is who's doing what by when, who's responsible for which areas. And the next piece is where are we at right now, constantly being updated. This is critical because there's interdependencies. So if I'm supposed to be producing the third aspect of the project, but I can't produce it till the second aspect is completed, then the people producing that bit need to know it, so do I, and that we've got to work together. So knowledge, where it's at, if there is a delay because we couldn't get a part or a service or whatever it is, need to be communicated in time. Having a way of what is the alternative and when do we actually call a meeting to talk about it, not just to record it. But the first thing is the knowledge sharing, which is the knowledge management system that avoids us wasting too much time by picking up the phone and having a chat and then updating 10 people. So that's where the system comes in. But it doesn't take away the necessity of when to pick up that phone, when to say we have an exception now, and this is a suggestion, we need those three people in the room to address it.
I think perhaps we could start to interchange the word knowledge with information. Because if we think about it in terms of information management, then for some of us it's easier to understand and it's easier to look at what we should be doing with that information. But I think sometimes when we talk about knowledge and we think about knowledge, we're categorising what people carry around in their heads rather than the broader set of information that might come to us in relation to any particular situation in an organisation.
That's true. See, the other thing is that when you're talking about what somebody knows and bring to the table, that's one thing, which, as Kim says, we'll be covering more knowledge sharing in another podcast. But it's also about the timeliness of who may be the key people that I should go to and why I should go to those people and why do they need to know. Or they might be just people that will give me information to enable me to get on with my part of the job.
Yeah, so really it's about information. Yeah. And I guess that my biggest bugbear in this arena, I have many bugbears, and in this arena, let's talk about information management or knowledge management. It's reliance on software, reliance on a technical system to manage that process for you. As I said, there are a lot around, they are a help, but we still need to know how to integrate that knowledge, that information, into the processes that we are using. And also to review it, to look at, is that system working for me? Am I getting the best out of it? Is there something better? Is there a combination of the technology and the people? All of those management issues around knowledge and around information that don't come into the priorities necessarily in day-to-day activity. And so we still have to, I think, in managing that, allocate some time where we say, this is what I'm looking at. I need to have a system whether it's technology-based or people-based or form-based or whatever else it is, or a combination of all of them. And I need to bring that into the daily management, the weekly management, whatever it is, the general supervision of the team and of the activities I'm doing, so that I keep on top of the knowledge that is being gathered and I am recording it in some way so that it can be shared, so that it can be passed on, so that it can be used and can be, in some cases, a make or break situation in a deal where we haven't considered everything in the knowledge that we've gathered. You know, if you look at, well, I'll use an example of me just recently hiring a car. And if you've listened to the other podcasts, you know that I do that quite regularly. I book online, I get confirmation online, I turn up on the morning to pick up the car. And I find when I turn up to pick up the car that there's been a change in the system from the time I booked to this day that I'm picking up that hasn't been communicated to me. This is a place that has a good knowledge base of my likes and dislikes in terms of car hire, of the process that I use in terms of payment as well. And this affected the payment side of things. It was a big change. It meant that system-wise, they were not able to provide me with a car unless I did some other activity. And we're talking 7 o'clock in the morning, so it wasn't possible to do the activity that they wanted me to do and hire the car at the same time, like we'll get it away in a timely fashion. They had knowledge. They had knowledge of me as a customer. They had knowledge of their own system. That those two things didn't match up until I turned up on the day. And when I turned up on the day, there was nothing they could do within their system to work around the situation that we were both presented with at that point in time. So managing that knowledge would have been better had they advised me before I turned up that there had been a change in their system, and I would have expected that that had happened. But I think that they felt that their knowledge of me as a customer was sufficient, that they would be able to talk to me about it on the day and that I would be able to fix it on the day. Then, because I couldn't fix it at that point in time, their knowledge of their own system meant that they had to decline my custom on the day and has left me with a less than satisfactory experience. And all of it was preventable. All of it was manageable in terms of the knowledge that they had about their system and about me as a customer.
Maybe in that case also there is a matter of the communication of the change to the key people and the training. Mm. Really, if we go back, having a system in place is one thing, but when designing that system, it's got to be designed with the end user in mind, and that would be multiple users, whether it's a customer or within the organization. So when designing a system, it's best to have engaged the potential users in input, so it's designed the right way. It's got to be user-friendly, it's got to be designed accessible to all the right people. It's got to be protected, so no changes are made without transferring key information from one to another, as per this example, and also training people in how to use the information and what to look for when there is a change.
I don't want you to think that I'm against technology-based client management system, because again, with this same organisation, there are two brothers that I interact with most when I'm hiring the cars. Now, one I see more often than the other, and so he knows me very well as a client, and he knows what I use the cars for, and so most often when I get there, I'll find that he has quite freely upgraded me to a different vehicle than the one I've booked, simply because he thinks that that will suit me better for the task I have it on hand. When I deal with the alternate brother, because he doesn't interact with me as often, and that information has not been secured in any way, even though he will give me the upgrade, he doesn't give me the upgrade to a vehicle that is as appropriate for my needs as the first brother. So in that situation, and I know they've got quite a developed technology base, they should have something in their system, some way of noting that if they're going to upgrade me, then this kind of vehicle is better than that kind of vehicle for the purposes that for which I use the vehicles.
It's really critical to have information in a way that people can use, because as with everything, let's talk about between shifts. If you're in a hospital, if you're working in a hospital or at the airport or wherever you may be working, One shift finishes and another starts. There's critical information in a hospital sense vital to the health of the patient. If that's not recorded in a way that is very, very clear about what the change happened between the last shift and the following shift, that can have dire consequences. Likewise, if you're talking about in the airline, in the maintenance area, we had another podcast that talks a lot about aviation. So getting the parts in time, getting the right parts for the plane. And if any of you have ever been at the airport where there's been major delays because they have to change a tyre, and to most of us you'll think, why would it take that long to change a tyre? Why isn't a tyre for the plane available? Well, then that's where the information is stored and used in a way that's it for unexpected changes or for known changes because of a change in system or organisation, whatever. So knowledge management will enable anyone to produce the best work they can and the best outcome they can. Half information, a bit of knowledge, can lead to a lot of waste of time and a lot of dissatisfaction.
I guess in those examples are probably the best examples that we have in everyday life of where knowledge and information is managed, and managed critically, because the results of not managing it can be critical in all sorts of ways. So we can see, if we think about it, we can see that there are examples where knowledge is managed well, and perhaps what is not managed as well is the transfer or the sharing of that knowledge. And that's what we're going to talk about in a separate podcast altogether. We might leave knowledge management at this point, and we'll talk to you in another podcast about knowledge sharing or knowledge transfer. I'm Kim Bailey, she's Fuliana Osborne, and this is Inside Exec.